What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, December 10th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the verified one, the Baby Blues, Forbes, 30 under 30, Kind of Funny Games Showcase Editor, at Tim Gettys.
Latimost.
Did I get it all?
I like that.
Did I say
that.
Instagram verified?
I need to start adding the AKAs in between it, though.
Ooh. So you know, like, AKA. I like that AKA. A lot. I'll toss in the AKAs for you. How you feeling, big guy?
Good. Real good.
Real good.
Fantastic.
I feel like we both have the same cold.
What a great... Yeah, oh yeah, dude. I've been sick for the last week. I'm going to be sick for the next 3 weeks.
When we were in the run-up to the showcase, mm-hmm. the hardest I've ever had to work. I don't know. I can't speak for you. Hardest I've ever had to work, for sure, right? Jen was telling me, like, your body is going to shut down when this is over. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I mean, we'll see. Well, literally as we were doing the showcase, that morning I woke up and like the light was right there, the end of the tunnel. And I started getting, I was like, I don't feel great.
Oh yeah. I got yesterday. Yeah, I was just a husk of a human being. Mm. It was bad.
I saw the Gia Tap Harris photo of you in the onesie with MeUndies, 30 baby. Minutes to go to. Oh, I wear my you gave me the extra MeUndies. I got it. It's I got the nice, showcase. I agree. We'll get to that ad later. They are a sponsor today. Oh, that's not part of it though. Just perfect. Good job. What did you do with your day off yesterday?
I woke up at 2.
Nice. That's Tim Gettys' way.
Yeah. And then, well, we went out for a friend's birthday the night before.
Yeah. You guys got crazy. I don't know where you found that energy.
I mean, we had to. Yeah. These social, engagements. I don't even know.
To be fair.
Here we go. Kevin Coelho from kindoffunny.com.
That club?
Yeah.
Raven.
A lot more fun than I expected.
I'm telling you. I hate dancing. Yeah. I hate clubs. I love dancing at Raven.
Oof. I'll tell you what. On the way out, leaving the showcase, Jen was like, oh yeah, and you know, we got invited to that the birthday party. And I was like, oh, I did not know that or whatever. But I feel like we're on the peripheral enough that it just doesn't matter if we come. You know, you guys are core friends, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to go home and just lay on the couch.
But the thing about that is the core friends are all there. Mm-hmm. We just expect that you're not going to come. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'm saying I know you had to be there. You're a core friend.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I've ever had a conversation with this woman.
No. What I'm saying is that, but you know that all your core friends are going to be there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You
I
should
know.
Be there too.
Well, no, because it's not a 1-to-1 thing. We're on the second circle. If it was a Gia birthday party, if it was a Tim birthday party, a Kevin birthday party, I would. I totally would have gone. Where did I get this reputation for not going out? I go out.
You don't go out.
You don't go out.
You don't invite me places.
No, you get invited, everyone. And then you don't get invited because you don't come out.
Yeah. What? Or you get
What's the last thing that was a core group thing that I didn't go to?
Hey, calm down, dude.
No. Don't try to turn around on me. What's the last core thing I didn't go to? What's the last core thing I didn't go to?
I don't know. We haven't invited you in a while.
Exactly.
They don't invite me to things either. I don't get invited to anything.
Yeah.
I think it's
ageist. It's an ageist thing? Sure. Are you going to the White Chapel thing tonight?
What White Chapel
thing? Eric Castro is in town. Eric Castro is doing a morning show with you tomorrow, too, by the way.
I saw that. That's great. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. I didn't get invited to that. I didn't get invited to Spider-Verse. I didn't get invited to Tim's last 3 birthdays.
Sure. That's rough.
My last birthday was prom.
I didn't get an official invite.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. With your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun, then tune in as we record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live... You have a special job to do. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. The Kind of Funny Games Showcase was Saturday. It was a blast, and it's something we're super proud of. If you've watched the trailers that have been broken out on all sorts of sites, developers have been publishing them, Nintendo's acting like they made this news. Son, we did. And we would really appreciate it if you went and watched the showcase, checked out the production values, saw the graphics package. Go check out the opening, which made so many people cry. And, of course, means a lot to us. We worked really hard on this. You can go check it out at kindoffunny.com/showcase.
That's an important thing, too. I want to actually stress this, that please, even if you watch it on Twitch, go watch it on YouTube. At least get us the view.
Sure.
Because we're going to use this YouTube video as a test case for developers if we were to ever do this again. We want people to understand the reach that we have with you guys. So help us help you.
Yeah. And of course, thank you to everyone who watched live on Twitch. Mm-hmm. Amazing numbers put up on Twitch for us. That was insane. That was incredible. We've had nothing but positive feedback back from the industry about it. What's that, Kev?
There was some event recently where it was like, "Oh, is Greg Miller coming?" And it was like, "No." And I was like, "Well, that's too bad."
So that's your example.
No, I know. Greg,
some vague thing. Thank you. Pin me down. Pin me down on a core group function I haven't gone to.
New Year's, right? New Year's here. Did you come to that?
Yes, I came to that. Where the hell? Unless I was out of town, which I don't think I was.
I don't know.
Pretty sure we did. Speaking of which, are we doing New Year's here? I was talking about that.
Yeah, we are.
We're doing New Year's
here. I don't think you came. I think it was here, and you just didn't come.
No, that's Nick for sure.
No,
I you know that I love hanging out at the house. I love hanging out with you people. For real. Where did I get this reputation? I don't like hanging out with you.
Well, it's just, you're tired.
Breaks my heart when I don't give his. I'm tired a lot, sure. Here comes Joey. Joey, get on the shock mic. What do you got for me?
We'll put you back on the invite list.
Greg was definitely a New Year's.
Thank you.
Was he? All right. What, wasn't there?
Hey, you're really selling me on coming to engagements when I'm just forgotten when I do come.
I just got an email from Nintendo that says, "Thank you for purchasing Smash Brothers Ultimate. Below is your code from the My Nintendo for Piranha Plant in-game character. You can redeem the code now, and you'll receive the new character when it becomes available in early 2019.
That's really cool.
Oh, that's great news. That's breaking news. We have a whole bunch of Smash questions for you.
Sure.
Before we get there, if you watch the Kinda Funny Game Showcase, of course, thank you so much. You might have remembered that we were going to give away a Nintendo Switch and Rival Mega Gun as a gift from the publisher of Rival Mega Gun. You might say, "Greg, who won that?" They had a retweet. They had to follow. They had to retweet the trailer. Who won it? Jesus, possibly Jesus Hernandez. That's at Brophius Awesomus on Twitter. I assume Joey Noel is hitting you up about that. Joey, did you hit up the Rival Mega Gun winner? Perfect. Joey's hitting you up right now.
Brophius Maximus Awesomus.
Eric Hart, I love to death. Not a core member. I don't understand how you're not understanding this.
I understand.
Do you understand? Because it seems like you're arguing as if you don't understand. It seems like me saying, "Kevin, show me a blue shirt," and you keep holding up a green shirt, thinking you've made your point when that is not the point. Kind of Funny Game Showcase. We have two emails about it from kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Are you ready, Tim Geddes?
I'm ready.
First one, Damian Marr writes in, "I just want to thank you guys and the rest of Kind of Funny crew for holding the Kind of Funny Game Showcase. It was really well put together. Every day I listen to Kind of Funny Games Daily. I hear the new releases get read out and probably forget about most of them seconds later. The showcase, on the other hand, allowed me to see what many of these smaller games are about and judge them on more than just a title. I loved going on to social media afterwards to chat with developers I'd never heard and tell them that their games had got my attention. For me, as a consumer/player, the showcase was really valuable. At so many conferences, the big AAA games steal the limelight. But after your show, I've been thinking about a cute little puzzle game and about a long-distance relationship and paper folding all weekend. Thanks for shining a light on so many games, which on any other day could be overshadowed by something made by a bigger team with a bigger marketing budget. Shout out to little guys. Smiley emoji." That's the point, Damien.
That's what
the Kind of Funny Game Showcase was all about. Thank you so many of you for following, like Damien, going on Twitter, following these devs, talking to these devs. I saw on Reset Era, I saw on our subreddit, I saw on the Facebook group people putting up the list of things they're excited for that they just learned about there.
Cool shit, man.
And then Derek writes in and says, "Hello, Greg and Tim. I've enjoyed your amazing Kind of Funny Games Showcase last Saturday and saw amazing games, which I would probably never had if I didn't watch the showcase. But now that it's over and done, how do you reflect on it as Kind of Funny? Are you happy with the end results of the showcase? Are you satisfied with the reach? Did you set a bar for yourself before you can discuss if there will be a next one? What are your thoughts, Derek?" Derek, of course, on the Kind of Funny Games cast this week.
Yes.
An in-depth, crazy breakdown of everything, answering these questions and so many more, I'm sure, and giving you the behind-the-scenes story of how it came to be, who was in, who was out, everything that happened, all the things that went wrong, and all these stuff.
Yeah.
But in short,
I feel like this was a major success. I'm super proud of it. I feel like it's... Joey today tweeted out an image of all of the current Kind of Funny employees
at E3 this year. With Nick looking in the wrong direction.
But what I loved about it is, like, that's the entire team down at E3, like the video game hub of the year. And she tweeted out that like these people this year did Prom and the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, and that's such a perfect example of what Kind of Funny is.
Sure.
And I feel like we nailed both of them perfectly. And when it comes to the showcase, I feel like we proved what we had to.
Yeah.
Did it get the numbers I wanted? Did it get this? Did it get that? I will say, we beat the record for our most Twitch concurrence ever, which previously was 22,000 on the E3 PlayStation Conference 2015, the Year of Dreams. We beat that, and everything's been, like, the response has been super awesome that I feel like if we were to do this again, it'd be even better.
Of course. Now people understand what we're doing. Yeah,
we're not just fucking around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll talk about more on the show, Gamescast. You can catch that live, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames on Thursday afternoon, or get it later Friday on Patreon, or get it for free the following Monday. Means that there's a new one up right now, by the way, if you didn't know. Anyways, holiday schedule for Kind of Funny. We're here next week, and then we're off starting on December 24th. We come back Friday, January 4th, for a Kind of Funny Day stream you aren't ready for, our fourth anniversary. Worlds, hashtag worlds will change.
Can I'm, we trying take that to, yet? I'm trying to figure out what the hashtag is going to be.
Let's just steal it from the Game Awards. No, they're done
like,
with it.
I want something. I want more than that. Like I'm trying to find the right way to explain
okay.
how big a deal this is.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Like everything changes seems a little easy.
Sure.
I want something better.
The fappening.
I mean,
we can take that too. What are other popular? Oh, whatever happened to Coney? Can we take Coney? That's a hashtag people really dug. Just put it out there. There's a lot of.
Coney.
Huh?
What was Coney?
Great question. Next one. Today we're sponsored by 23andMe, Loot Crate, and MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Ooh, Kevin did not like that. Kevin's like Portillo when somebody gets too close to his bone. He does not like that. Three items on the Roper Report.
The Baker's Dozen.
It's a meaty one to start it off, Kevin, and it's right up your alley. Monster Hunter is making all sorts of moves. I'm going to start with the biggest part of it, I think, which is that they're doing a crossover with The Witcher. This is a press release from CD Projekt Red, and I'm going to butcher a bunch of names in here. I apologize, everybody. The collaboration sees Monster Hunter World players take on the mantle of Geralt of Rivia, a professional monster slayer equipped with superhuman strength and reflexes, and has them take on a series of Witcher-inspired quests. These offer a unique gameplay experience blending RPG mechanics of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt with Monster Hunter World's game systems. Geralt is a master swordsman, considered one of the deadliest warriors in the world of The Witcher. Monster Hunter World players get to utilize his signature fighting style, seamlessly blending swordplay, combat magic, and assortment of monster hunting equipment. Reprising his role as the White Wolf in the English version of Monster Hunter World is Doug Cockle, the English voice of Geralt of Rivia through The Witcher series of games. The Witcher-inspired content is coming to Monster Hunter World on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in early 2019 as a free title update, with the PC release to follow soon. More details regarding the collaboration will be revealed at a later date. First and foremost here, what's interesting is getting in and being Geralt. Mm-hmm. This isn't a skin. This isn't like when we made Aloy costumes or when you had the Mega Man as your partner or whatever. This is straight up you're going to be playing as him in the Monster Hunter world with Witcher-inspired quests. That's a cool idea.
It's really cool. I also like that this is going outside of the Monster Hunter kind of Capcom world. And sure. I know the Aloy was as well, but like this is like a really cool crossover event like between companies.
Yeah.
And it's like even companies that make quote unquote similar games. It's like we usually don't see this type of collaboration because it's like they see each other's competition.
Sure.
Like I just love that we're getting to a point now with obviously Smash Brothers over the last couple of years and looking at the Game Awards and, you know, the big three to start off the show together and with Microsoft and Nintendo playing nice last year with Fortnite and everything.
And it's now like, PlayStation.
And now PlayStation.
Forced into it, but yeah, they're there.
Exactly. But it's like I love this kind of idea that anything can happen. And uh-huh. like we're really working towards something where who knows like what type of cool gameplay elements we'll see. And also, Monster Hunter, like, damn, you're still doing stuff. You're still
kicking,
out
still
a lot
going.
Of content.
Yeah.
And I know that it's, you know, one of Capcom's best-selling games ever. So of course they're going to keep supporting it. But we're looking here to autumn 2019. Like that's
That's the next one. Next up is the Iceborne expansion. I'm reading from the PlayStation blog post, but this applies to everybody. There's an Iceborne expansion coming to Monster Hunter World in autumn 2019. We're bringing you a brand new environment, new monsters, new equipment to forage, a new quest difficulty rank, and much more. We'll have more details on the expansion in spring 2019, so stay tuned. In the meantime, we've also announced plenty of new free content updates coming to the base game of Monster Hunter World. Everyone is still celebrating the Winter Star Fest, and as the event comes to a close in a couple of days, the Research Commission will allow hunters to take on a revamped Kul'Tharoth siege with an arc-tempered form of that Elder Dragon and new rewards. As we look to 2019, we will start off the year with an appreciation fest to celebrate 1 year of Monster Hunter World, followed by two more exciting updates, the Arc-Tempered Nirgante and a special collaboration with The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. And then before I get any further, deal of the day, Monster Hunter World. You can play Monster Hunter World for free with the trial version. This trial version will be available from December 11th at 4 p.m. Pacific to until December 17th at 4 p.m. Pacific and lets you really see what Monster Hunter World is all about. I think the first part of that is back to what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Is that Monster Hunter World has stayed relevant and kept an audience by having regular updates, by having the Winter Festival, by having now this Appreciation Festival for the one-year anniversary, which still seems crazy, right?
Yeah.
To sit there and be like, it's only been a year. Like, when mm-hmm. we got to Game of the Year this year, and like when I'm working on my Giant Bomb top 10 list right now, it's like, oh, crap, damn, right? Like, Monster Hunter is still this year, right?
It was so good, you know?
It was so good.
For a while.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing, Kevin Coelho. I did something rare the other day talking about Monster Hunter World on this show.
Yeah,
and you weren't at the chair. I complimented you. That's the rare thing. And I said, you were in fact right. You were in fact right. Because you were being a dick to me, saying you don't invite me to things and I don't come, but I come to the things that matter. Earhart doesn't matter. Okay? You were right that we were never going to go back to Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Do you think any of this is good enough to get us back? Not even good enough. Hey, the game's great. Everything's awesome.
I do think this stuff is good enough to get us back. It just won't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think the content's great. Mm-hmm. This is, we left that world behind. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine jumping back into it and trying to figure out what's going on.
No.
Because that's the terror.
Too many buttons, you know?
It's terrifying. The buttons, there are a lot of buttons. I was thinking more of the systems, but there are a lot of buttons too.
Many buttons.
A lot of buttons, yeah,
and
yeah.
These chubby fingers, they hit so many at one time.
Well, there's just too many games coming out too. It just reminds me of DC Universe Online. Mm-hmm. I love DC Universe Online. Whatever, 700 plus hours in that game. And then that one time I tried to go back in the last year, and I went in, I'm like, I have no idea what any of this is anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to start, where to start and what to do here.
Life's hard.
It is hard, but if you're still in the Monster Hunter, there you go. A lot of stuff coming, and I'm glad they are supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there's been layoffs at Daybreak, the H1Z1 developer. This is from Rebecca Valentine at gamesindustry.biz. H1Z1 developer Daybreak Game Company has seemingly laid off a number of employees today, according to reports across social media. Worth pointing out, this is not today. I forget what day this is. Kevin, can you go check for me? Gamesindustry.biz, get me on the Daybreak story a date. A number of developers and others on Twitter have tweeted about the layoffs today, with former Daybreak Games president John Smedley among them. Smedley indicated in one tweet that the studio had eliminated 70 positions, roughly estimating to be about 30% of the studio.
Wow.
MMO Bomb received a statement from Daybreak Games confirming the layoffs, though a number not the number that was affected. Quote, we are optimizing our structure to ensure we best position ourselves for continued success in the years to come, the statement reads.
Looks like Friday.
Friday, thank you. This effort has required us to make some changes within the organization, and we are doing everything we can to support those impacted in this difficult time. As we look to improve efficiencies and realign resources, we remain focused on supporting our existing games and development of our future titles, end quote. Of course, best wishes to everybody who lost their job
definitely.
There. Not surprising, correct?
No.
H1Z1 had a moment where you're like, oh my gosh, this could go somewhere, and then never ever capitalize.
And you know, this is coming from a point of ignorance, but okay. I feel like I agree with you. It had a moment, but it never actually did. You know,
it had the potential
it had
for a moment.
It had the promise of a moment,
yeah,
and then it just never fully came out. Which is weird because then PUBG and all these other battle royale things, and they never came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we talk Fortnite still in beta.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like H1Z1 was just a little too early for to be able to see the type of success that later saw.
Their big thing, if you remember, was that, I mean, years ago, or maybe not even years, but long before Fortnite and PUBG ever hinted at it, they were like, we're coming to consoles. We're coming to PlayStation 4. We're going to be on PlayStation. And I remember being like, I will totally play that. I've been hearing about this Battle mm-hmm. Royale business. I'd love to play it. And then
we did the Let's Play on kind of
a long time ago at the old studio.
And we had a fucking blast.
Like, yeah.
That was the first Battle Royale game we'd ever played. And it was so much fun. The concept of Battle Royale is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like we've seen it just so refined and it's just like it's now it's everywhere. But then it was so novel and it's like, oh, my God, this is like the Battle Royale movie. And they're making it into it. This is fantastic. But yeah, this isn't surprising news. It's sad, but it's not surprising.
Let's go to happier, maybe surprising news if you haven't been paying attention. This is also from Rebecca Valentine at GamesIndustry.biz, who I want you to know that is on the show so much, I've now just started abbreviating RV at GIB. Mm. Warframe has been downloaded more than 1 million times on Switch. Today, Digital Extremes has announced that its third-person shooter, Warframe, reached 1 million downloads on the Nintendo Switch less than 3 weeks after its launch on the platform. Warframe has seen a strong year despite being a nearly six-year-old game that got off to a rough start. Last month, the game saw a new record concurrent user peak on Steam, seeing over 132,000 players at the time. Currently, the game has been holding steady average of 50,000 average concurrent players on PC alone. The game is free to play with microtransactions to support it. Earlier this year, on its anniversary, the game had seen 38 million players across all platforms. Warframe, another one of those ones that you move the rock and you're like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of you.
Today, just a day of stories of these games that just keep on chugging in different ways. You know, it's like H1Z1. It's like, yeah, there's bad news here, but it's like it's still a thing. It's still that's being worked on. Monster Hunter World, it's like, yeah, it was just a year ago. It feels like a lot longer, but to know that we have at least another year of content coming to it. And then Warframe is a total different case here of just like, yeah, there are so many people playing this game. It is such a huge hit, but you know, it's hard for people like us to kind of comment on it because it's so out of our realm of what the video game industry is.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. I was talking to somebody recently because we were watching the Game Awards, and it's like, esports, they're video games, but like, my God, that might as well just be a different ass world. Right. And when you start looking at games like Warframe, it's like impossible for us to be up to date and in the know how important it is.
It's, I mean, it's similar to, you talk about it like that, but I mean, you can take it to Destiny. Mm-hmm. I can tell you what's coming out to Destiny, and I can tell you about when I played Destiny 2 at launch. I don't even know what's going on. I saw Destiny getting a bunch of flack for the review he put up. Yeah, of course, I want to say Black Banner, but that's not correct. But something like that, you know what I mean? Like, and Andrea talked about that DLC on the show and how she's going to get back into it and have opinions on it. Gaming right now is that thing where you come to us for a broad look at the thing and then the games we're about, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't expect everybody you go to, you can't expect to go to IGN and have them be an expert at every one of the biggest games going out. And that was happening when we were there.
Yeah.
And like, when I talk about gaming when I went back for Thanksgiving and I'm talking to a bunch of family that doesn't really understand all of it, I always describe it as, it used to be that, you know, you'd see us under an umbrella of gaming and it was possible to know literally everything that was going on, have an opinion on most of the biggest games and all these different things. And now that umbrella is so huge that, esports is underneath it. I can't tell you thing one about any of that stuff. I don't know those people. And like, YouTube and the influencer world is underneath it. But again, when I think of YouTubers and influencers, I'm thinking of Easy Allies and us and Jim Sterling and Danny O'Dwyer, right? And then when you talk to somebody else, they're like Shroud and this, and I'm like, oof, yeah, that counts. And that is a real thing. I don't know them other than the times I've met them. I've never consumed their content, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Shit's crazy.
Trevor writes in, it's Destiny 2 Black Armory. Thank you very much.
Before we get too crazy, I want to add a couple bonus Roper reports.
Bonus Roper reports.
One of them, the Kingdom Hearts 3. Intro movie finally came out. Finally released with the new theme song. It looks amazing. Skrillex doing it. It's weird. Oh. I will say my gut reaction, because a lot of people have been asking me, I'm not thrilled about the song, but I also wasn't thrilled about the theme song to 2. I was so used to 1 that it's like anything new, you're always like, ooh, I don't know.
How close are we? What is that?
January 29th.
Oof, that's close.
Yeah, it's getting real close.
Yeah.
We got that in Resident Evil 2, man.
Resident Evil 2. I can't wait.
And also, I'm kind of itching to replay New Super Mario Bros. U on the Switch.
Oh, okay.
In January. It's like, it's going to be a good month.
I feel like that one's being overlooked. I haven't heard anything about that lately.
Yeah, because Smash and all that.
Sure.
The second thing I wanted to add is Super Smash Brothers sales numbers are kind of like being
talked about. Oh, yeah, I saw this too. I saw the Reset Era thread, right?
Yeah, Famitsu reported that in Japan, 1.3 million units sold first week. But keep in mind, that's not first week. It's just been first couple days.
Yeah.
And what's crazy about that and why this is a big deal is... somebody got the sales numbers of first week of the previous Smash games in Japan, just Japan.
Sure.
And the key thing here is these are crazy numbers for Japan. Japan sales for games have been down for a long time, and we don't see the same type of like crazy 1 week sales that we see in America.
Sure.
The Wii U Smash Bros. So the last Smash Bros. On Wii U, only 244,000.
Oh, shit.
First week.
Oh, wow.
Going all the way up to the biggest one, the 3DS launch, which was 987,000.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So 1.3, huge deal for 1 weekend in Japan.
Yeah.
This game is going to sell Mario Kart numbers.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's crazy. That's all I've seen this weekend on Twitter, right, is people playing it and usually bitching about unlocking characters, which we'll get to later. But, like, you know what I mean? Playing Smash, and it's everywhere. Yeah. It's awesome to see.
Nuts.
Yeah. Tim,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited for that Resident Evil. I'm excited for you to be happy with your Kingdom Hearts and your Mickey Mouse and all that stuff. But it's still so far away. If I wanted more important dates, say, like, what was in the Mom and Grop shop today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Guacamelee 2 is on Switch. Worth pointing out that at the Kind of Funny Games Showcase, we announced that Guacamelee 2 is getting Shirtless Arachnid Person and Portillo DLC. It's a free thing you can get by putting in the code that we have in the showcase. You can go watch. It's out right now, but it'll come to Switch next week due to a, you know, approval process thing through Nintendo for a patch. Rocket Pass 2 is live in Rocket League right now on all platforms and will run until March 18th of next year. Similar to Rocket Pass 1, there will be a free track for all players and a premium upgrade option. The premium track now includes an increased variety of items and a new special edition attribute to various pro tier items. Warframe's Fortuna expansion launches on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One today, and then Dusk is leaving early access on Steam today. New dates for you. Flux is available tomorrow on the Nintendo Switch. Donut County is coming to Nintendo Switch and Xbox One December 18th. Pipe Push Paradise is coming to Switch on December 24th. And then I have a rock block of announcements of release dates from the Kind of Funny Game Showcase. This is not all the announcements. This is the ones that had the most like targeted dates. And I urge you to go watch it. kindoffunny.com/showcase to see all of this, but let's go. Super Meat Boy Forever is coming April 2019 to PC, PS4, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. Y2K is coming January 17th, 2019 to Nintendo Switch, PC, and PS4. At Sundown is coming to it's coming off of Discord to everybody January 22nd. Aftercharge is coming out on PC and Xbox One January 10th, 2019. Lapis X Labyrinth is coming from NIS in 2019 to the PS4 and Nintendo Switch. The Danganronpa Trilogy is coming to PlayStation 4 sometime in 2019. The Messenger Picnic Panic free DLC expansion is coming in 2019. Windjammers is getting a limited run games physical release December 21st, 2018. And then Celeste is also getting a limited run release January 1st, 2019.
With amazing box art.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And limited run games obviously killing has a bit more flexibility when it comes to stuff and killing it.
Yeah.
But I love that it's coming to PS4 and Switch. And both of them have different color schemes for the artwork to match the system. So fucking cool.
They know what they're doing over there. The Occupation is coming February 5th, 2019. Long Gone Days is coming April 2019. Vane is coming to PlayStation 4 on January 15th, 2019. Bury Me My Love is coming to the Nintendo Switch on January 10th, 2019. The Wild 8 is coming March 2019 to PC, August 2019 to consoles. Tunche it's launching off of Kickstarter January 14th, 2019. Jenny LeClue is a game I've been talking about forever. We knew it was coming to PC and PS4. It's now officially coming to Switch. Desert Child is coming out December 11th, 2018. Judgment, formerly Project Judge, is coming to PlayStation 4 summer 2019. I can't fucking wait. That trailer's awesome.
It is.
The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 3 is coming out January 15th, 2019. Mini Mech Mayhem is coming to PlayStation VR Q1 2019. Conan Unconquered is coming Q2 2019.
I think you skipped Judgment.
I just talked about it and you agreed with me.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the Cowboy Bebop one.
Nah, you're a good co-host and I appreciate that you're just there to support no matter what. Away Journey to the Unexpected is coming out in February, basically February 5th through the 8th on PlayStation 4, Switch, Xbox One, and PC. That's the main stuff from the showcase. Again, the showcase was packed, 69 games. Go check it out.
Did
amazing
you see
trailers.
It was 69 minutes as well.
I didn't see that. That's really good. Shit, we should have promoted that too. I got some Xbox Game Pass additions for you. Some of these are already out, but I'm just going to say them all with the dates. Mortal Kombat 10 coming is already out. Pro Evolution Soccer 19, December 13th. Spin Tires Mud Runner, December 13th. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, December 17th.
Hell yeah.
Ori in the Blind Forest, December 20th.
Hell yeah.
Shadow Warrior 2, December 20th. Ashen, already out. Kingdom Two Crowns, December 11th. And then Below, December 14th. Stoked about Below. Deals of the day for you. This one was submitted by Gilly Brums. Gilly Brums wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and said, deal of the day. Best Buy's SD and micro SD sale that is going on today has regular and Nintendo branded scan disc cards. But The regular, non-branded Nintendo Switch sand card, disc, whatever, the cards are a much better deal. You can get 120 gigabyte micro SD for $18.99, regularly $139.99.
Go do that right now. These things are going to sell out. That is a fucking insane deal for this.
And the 64 gigabyte for $13.99, regular $89.99. Wow. Both will work with the Switch, according to Gilly Brums. Greg has not verified that.
Get it.
That's a good deal. I forgot to figure out how big mine is. I finally did the thing where I ran out of space and had to start deleting stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Me?
Yeah, I think we have huge ones, right?
I have a lot of games.
I think I only have a 64.
I got games.
I got games on games.
Time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our three illustrious sponsors. We're brought to you today by 23andMe. Now, through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA test kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand your DNA and can tell you about you and your family's story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe Health Plus Ancestry Service includes more than 90 personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into a tube provided you in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks you received your online reports. Tim, you and I did this.
We both did.
I've talked about it at length. You have not. How are your results?
I was talking about this on the morning show today. I am way more healthy than I expected myself to be based on the health reports.
Okay.
And yeah, and all the breakdown of what I am, really interesting stuff. A cool thing, a cool tie-in to this, especially with the December 25th, great present. To get this 100%. For somebody else. It's a cool, interesting thing that like people are interested in. Gia got this for her mom and dad for Christmas like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
That's a great idea.
Great present.
Now through December 25th, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andMe.com/games. Again, that's 23andMe.com/games. Up next, it's Loot Crate. Did you know about Loot Gaming? It's a subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates and designs everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. And Loot Gaming is built around your favorite video game franchise. Like my Foxhound glass that I stole back from Nick because he took it away from me and wouldn't give it back.
Cool Greg loves this thing. Every month, a box comes. Yeah. He gets his pins. He gets his t-shirts.
Exactly.
Guaranteed.
This month's theme is this. Earth is secure. It's time to take the fight off world. Take on alien invaders with gear from Halo, Gears of War, Mass Effect, and Galaga. Loot Gaming, again, is curated. You get a t-shirt in every crate, and there's more than $60 of value in each and every crate for just $29. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, Geek Out in Style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. Enter my code GAMES, 30% off your subscription. And finally, it's MeUndies. We started the show by happenstance talking about MeUndies because I only wear them. Tim only wears them. I got the lounge pants now, and I got the onesie. They're all amazing.
They're all amazing.
They're super comfortable.
Soft microfiber material.
Exactly. It's the softest stuff you've ever worn.
It is true.
Yeah, 100%. That's not me reading off the page. These are the softest underwear I've ever had, the softest lounge pants I've ever had. I've never owned a onesie before, but now I do, and it's the softest onesie I've ever had.
Game changer.
Exactly. Game changer indeed. You can get a style that's perfectly suited for you or one that matches the special someone. Men and women can each choose from four different cuts for underwear, all of which are available from classic colors to adventurous prints. Remember, MeUndies is amazing. You might already use it, but guess what? You're going to forget about Christmas, the holidays. It's upon you. You can give this to people. They will be excited to have things that are soft on their bodies. Mm-hmm. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Order by 12/16, that's December 16th, for free shipping in time for Christmas. Crunch for time? You can't go wrong with a MeUndies gift card. Mm-hmm. This is a no-brainer. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you'll ever put on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily.
I went to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily on Black Friday, and I went a little overboard.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I bought like...
I want more lounge pants.
I bought a ton of the shirts. I now have just black tees.
From MeUndies? I didn't know they did this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they do. I bought 5 black tees. I bought 2 white shirts. I bought 1 light blue and 1 navy.
Basics, I appreciate you.
The essentials.
I appreciate
They're
you.
They're so soft, man.
Time to hand the show over to Leandro. There's no A in there.
Yeah, there is.
Leandro. Hi, Kinda Funny Games Daily Show crew. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Now that Smash Ultimate is out and the hype is beginning to settle down, I feel like people are starting to notice the pretty major flaws in online play. No local friends in private battle arenas, free-for-all matches when rule sets are specifically set for 1v1, and no choosing characters for rematches are just a few of the issues I've seen thus far. What are your thoughts on these shortcomings that are coming to light? Will Nintendo ever develop a game that has fully functional online play?
I'll be surprised if Nintendo accomplishes that. And on top of this, it's like, yeah, it's very sad. It's an upsetting situation we're in that the Smash Online is where it's at currently.
Yeah.
Have you played online at all?
Yeah, I did. We'll get to my, not my gripes, but we'll get to my stuff later about Smash. But yeah, I came home that night one with it, had fun playing here with the office, jumped on, had my first match flawless. And I was like, oh my God, maybe they actually did it. And then the next two were Chugfest. So
Chugfest is a disaster. I have the little Ethernet adapter and that does help. The problem is it's still learning. The algorithms are learning. The matchmaking is learning. The bigger problem is what you're talking about here of even though you set the rules, if it can't find those rules, it just puts you in a fucking free-for-all with items on a random ass stage. Mm. And I'm like, I'm trying to do a one-on-one that's like, well, come on, guys. What the fuck are we doing here?
Sure.
However, there are little things that are making it better. I'm a member of the Smash subreddit, and a lot of people are like, look, here's what we need to do. We all need to set the exact same rules. Parameters that we're looking for rules, because that will and spread that as this is the standard.
Spread the message right now. What's the standard?
I don't know what it is.
Okay, go to the Smash Reddit.
What it is, but it's something like 7 minutes timed with stock, and then what the specific levels that are deemed as competitive or whatever. And that is going to help a lot. And the people that are doing that, it's already helping them a lot. And I also think that there's so many people playing online right now that are just kind of like casually getting into it, that this stuff will, through patches and stuff, get better. But having said that, this is unacceptable. It's not okay that it's as piss poor and bad as it is right now. Not being able to change a character, just having to do a rematch that's just the same characters with the same people, that's so dumb.
Yeah.
There's just such little quality of life things that I really expect them to fix. And this is the type of thing that I think they might fix.
Yeah.
I don't expect some crazy ass overhaul of things.
For like little things. Let's get beyond performance, right? Because whatever, it's Nintendo Online. Well, I can't speak to that, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of everything you're talking about, quality of life fixes and what the audience would want, like, where do you think the breakdown was in that? Is it a crunch of time? Is it a different team? Is it just like get it out the door and we'll fix it later? Is it nobody cares? Thing is,
from a performance standpoint, I think it's fine. I think that the people that are having the laggy like issues and stuff, that's people's fault, like that aren't the people playing competitive are gonna have the Ethernet thing. They're gonna like set the rules and stuff. And you add the items, you add all the shit that adds more lag. You know what I mean? You take that stuff up, it's gonna play better. From what I'm understanding, the performance isn't the issue. It is the quality of life stuff. It is the like, this isn't what I'm trying to play. Why do I have to play this?
Okay,
you know. Okay. I do think that they just have a very backwards philosophy when it comes to game design with a lot of things, and it's seen throughout the single player content as well that I've explained a million times in different shows. And the online is another example of that. They showed they kind of get it. It's like, okay, there's the elite smashers or whatever that once you hit a certain level, then you're put into this different category. But even that, the rules seem kind of arbitrary and weird right now.
Are you an elite smasher?
Not yet, no. Okay. You have to play a lot of online to get there.
Are you going to become an elite smasher one day?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping to push through all this stuff. And like I said, I do expect a patch, but I don't know. It's better than the Wii U's online when it first started. It's way better than Brawl's online when it first started.
Interesting. Do you think, is part of the reason that they don't, that it's not perfect and flawless, is it just because most people don't care? Like, Smash is still a local game for a lot of people, right?
I don't think that it's only a local game for a lot of people because the online doesn't work.
Gotcha.
But okay. It's like, you know, Smash people really love playing online, and the Smash Wii U up until 2 days ago was super popular online.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, it should be. We're in a modern time now. This isn't Mario Party, where it's like, I understand Mario Party not having online. It's dumb, and I wish it did, but I understand it. Super Smash Brothers should have working online. 100%. It should have extremely clear professional or just for fun levels that actually work. It shouldn't be some weird mix.
I just feel like they should have gotten that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why is Nintendo still bad about online? Because especially for their biggest game, or of right now, the fall.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think it's Nintendo. I think it's Japan.
Okay. EJ writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, let's address the Koopa in the room, unlocking characters in Smash Ultimate. It is a tedious experience. You have to play single-player content, which sucks. No cutscenes, no story, no fun. And some of the battles are just insanely in favor of the CPU. I thought, fuck it, I'll just play online, and when I go back to the menu, surely a challenger will appear. Nope, you can't unlock characters playing online. Fucking bullshit. So, to unlock characters in Smash, I literally just let the game sit there for 10 minutes. During that time, I was playing other games. Then I fight the challenger, win, repeat, back to other games. This many characters shouldn't be locked. I don't know what Sakurai was thinking. I hope fighting games don't go back to locking characters. EJ. Tim, I want your opinion, but I want to call out that this is something I thought was interesting. I've seen this floating around a lot today, or over the last few days, of Jason Schreier out there, Aaron Porter from Rooster Teeth, a bunch of other people.
Andre Seegers, who we had on Games Daily on Friday. Yeah. We talked about it a bit on the last show. Yeah, it's like, it's an issue. I get why the decision was made from Sakurai. It's like he wanted to bring it back to the base and like have this long, fun time of unlocking characters. The problem is they forgot the fun part.
Yeah.
And I think that is an issue. There's so many different ways they could have handled this that would have worked, where they could have had some type of system of you get to choose which characters you unlock, or if there was some type of grid that you at least understood what you needed to do to get people.
Sure.
The system they put in for this game, they gave so many different ways to unlock characters, but none of them are efficient or good.
Mm.
World of Light, like playing through, because back in Brawl, Greg,
you played
through Subspace Emissary. You okay?
Yeah, I'm
okay. The story's single player mode, and you'd unlock all the characters, right?
Yeah.
You could beat that whole thing in like 7 hours, something like that. And
sure.
It's like, that feels appropriate. You're playing the core content of the game, you're getting all the characters, then you can move on to multiplayer and just have fun. Subspace Emissary, not the best from a gameplay perspective, but it was serviceable. Then you get to World of Light, and the gameplay's a lot better. This motherfucking thing never ends. My game time on it right now is 40 hours, Greg.
Jesus Christ.
And there's no way it's correct. It's one of those like in-game clocks that sure, I'm like, yeah. There's no way.
You popped out, you put it to sleep, and it kept counting.
Yeah. No, not even that. It's like, I think that it's just like, it's wrong.
Like, oh, you think it's wrong? Like you've put more in?
No, less.
Okay.
Like it's saying 40 hours. I don't think I've played 40 hours. I think I've played 10 hours. I think the clock's fast.
Gotcha.
Or something.
Okay.
But I'm still not done.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I should have been done. Maybe half the time I played it ago. It is tedious as shit. There's way too much. And it's just like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. Unlocking characters is a problem.
When I jumped into it and did World of Light on night one, when I was like, oh, I want to try all the different modes and stuff, I got in there and it's overwhelming to an extent, right?
Of
like, now there's this and that. I'm like, what am I doing and how does this work? And hey, you've unlocked more people. I'm like, yeah, but I've already started leveling these guys up. I'm going to run with this till I've maxed them out, I guess.
You max them out super
easily. And then I just bounced. I was like, all right, cool. Went and played online for a little bit. And that's when I got around. And that's just when it came back to something I've known but haven't dealt with in a while because I didn't do Wii U at all. But like, I love Smash Brothers. Have since N64, right? But I love playing Smash with people. Like going home and playing alone. And like I was like, you know, Jen was watching a movie and she was playing Pokemon and I was like, okay, cool. I'll sit next to you and unlock characters on Smash. Mm-hmm. And I was doing your method of, you know, play for a while. All right, cool. Quit out. Came in. Challenger. Got the challenger or lost to him. Quit out. Come back in and do, you know what I mean? So I'm just, that's the way to do it, just to not have to wait for 10 minutes. You don't have to wait for 10 minutes. You can quit out, close the game, come back in after you've beaten somebody, and then another person will appear every time. Pretty much every time.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that stopped working for me, though.
That's
like,
the problem.
Do they update that
shit? They're updating stuff. And it's like,
but I haven't gotten an update. Like,
if they pass that, I will never unlock everybody for sure.
Yeah, at no point have I opened Smash and been like, oh, you need to update. So it's just weird that I'm around the 55 character mark, and it's just, it used to be literally every other match when I was doing it. And now it's just, I am having to do like 6 matches.
It's a problem.
Yeah. But it's just,
there's way too many characters to have this type of system to unlock.
That being said, I personally am enjoying it.
Unlocking that way?
Yeah. Because I do feel like I am getting a little bit better, and like, every like 20 matches, I'll be like, I'm gonna put the CPU level one higher.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're just doing Smash. You're not doing to unlock. You're going in and playing one on one or what?
Yeah, one on one with one stock.
Yeah.
No items, just standard rules.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I totally get why it's like this, but I grew up playing it, so I've always expected it to be like this. But yeah, in 2018, again, it is a weird thing of, oh, yeah, I guess this kind of does suck. And for me, you know, I luckily unlocked Young Link, like literally my first character unlock.
Mm-hmm.
Great, cool. I'm ready. I'm just going to use him pretty much and worry about it. But I understand, if, number one, if you don't, if you want to use somebody else, if you want to try other people, going to a friend's house and you main Snake, but they haven't unlocked Snake, that shit always sucks.
Yeah, it's weird. And again, it doesn't affect me at all. I got them all night one.
Yeah.
If I didn't get them night one, I would have got them night two. It's like, you know, I've been waiting for this. I'm gonna 100% this game if I can, if it's feasible.
Sure.
I haven't faced anything that I'm like, oh shit, there's can't no chance. That.
Yeah.
Like, so far, this game's easier than the Wii U version.
Interesting.
Because there was a couple challenges in that I'm like, I'll never do that.
It's a fine line to walk to satisfy a hardcore person like you and then a more casual person, I guess, like myself.
And I mean, I'm not even mad.
I'm like, more casual people
and
like that.
Like, we're both kind of on the flip sides of this. I'm like, dude, this game has so many flaws. It's so good, but it goes back to what I originally said and why I was disappointed during that direct is this needs to be where quantity and quality meet, not just like, oh, now here's just more. So much of this is quality. Here's just more quantity, though.
It just
mucks up the systems, man.
Sure.
Keep it fucking simple.
Yeah, leaves a bad taste in people's mouth, right? And it's not what you want to see days after they finally get it. Ignacio Rojas writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. It says, hello, Greg and Tim. First of all, congratulations on a job well done. The showcase ended up being better than what I imagined. I'm very proud of what you've accomplished. Now it's back to business. Tim, now the Joker has been announced as DLC character for Smash. Does this open the door to characters we would have thought impossible in the past? Is there now a real chance of Goku to be a DLC character? Anyway, keep on being awesome.
Yes. I think yes to all of that. I think Goku has not much of a chance, but I do think there is a chance. A long time ago, Sakurai said that if they're not from a video game, they will not be in this game.
Yeah.
He also said you have to be a Nintendo character to be in. He also said a lot of other things that are no longer true.
Sure.
So I do think there's a chance. I think that Joker being in is a clear sign, and especially followed up by Reggie's comments that, like, this is expect this level of what the fuck
for, all gloves, yeah, for the gloves DLC. Are off.
I think we're going to get some real crazy shit. We're getting I think we're getting Banjo.
Yeah.
I really think we're getting Banjo. And then after that, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Resident Evil character.
Master Chief?
I think we're going to get Banjo or Master Chief. And I think because of that, I think we're going to get Banjo.
Okay.
But I do think we're going to get a Minecraft stage. I think that we're like, that's the level we're at right now. And like, with the sales of Smash and with like the obvious success that this has, we know we're getting five characters. I would not be surprised to get a season two after that of five more characters. And I hope that Smash does that and we get to hear about it for the next couple of years, just like we are with Monster Hunter World.
You know? Awesome. And then Braden and Eggs writes in and says, ever since Persona 5's Joker was announced for Smash, I've been wondering, will we see Persona 5 come to the Switch? I think because Nintendo is the one picking the DLC characters for Smash, there has to be a reason they'd want Joker in the game. Maybe to hype up a Persona Switch announcement? What are your thoughts? 1,000%.
I do think it's gonna come to Switch. The rumor from Nintendo Life is that it's gonna be the day the Joker comes out as a character that they're gonna announce that's coming to Switch.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised. That makes sense. I don't think, however, that it's a guarantee, because I don't think that it's like, oh, well, Nintendo's only doing this because whatever. They got Cloud. Like,
sure.
We all thought that meant more than it did. And granted, now Final Fantasy VII's being ported to it, but it's like, that is irrelevant.
I hear you. I don't think it's just because of the Smash thing. I think it's because it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, I tweeted all excited after they announced it. I tweeted out, you know, now put it on the Switch cowards. And so many people were like, so you cannot finish it on Switch too? Like, no, you're missing the point of the argument that I would have finished it if I could take it with me anywhere. Yeah. If I can play it on a plane, if I can do, you know, screw around when I'm watching other things. It's like giving all 90 hours of 90 plus hours of the full attention to it was wearing me down, and that's not what I wanted. So yeah, if it comes to a Switch, it's definitely a game I'm going to go through. Jeff the Maverick writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with all the holiday madness finally slowing down before it picks back up in January, my question is, what games do you two have in your backlog that you will be playing before the year is up? Also, the showcase was amazing, and I'm glad Fortnite is creeping back into your life, Greg. Love everything you guys do. Keep it up.
Spyro got delayed I have so much time to play this in September all the way to the, November. Oh, right when we're planning everything and doing stuff.
Sure.
Nah, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Spyro trilogy is definitely going to be mine.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff I want to play. What I'll actually get through is going to be an interesting equation, right? Yeah.
We'll see if I'll be done with World of Light by then.
Sure. No, probably not. You know, the everlasting gobstopper you'll never get away from. Yeah, I found myself, you know, last week as we were too busy to play stuff, getting the itch for Fortnite again. And then this weekend fell back down the Fortnite rabbit hole and been playing that. Last night it was or over the weekend, I guess, post showcase, it was playing Guacamelee, shirtless arachnid person with Portillo, and then jumping over to Fortnite and switching back and forth. Guacamelee 2, you remember, I was trying to hold off for the Switch version, but then having it drop, I was like, I just want to jump in and see it. And then I was going, and I'm like, this is just too fucking good not to keep playing. Yeah. So I'll just play it here and get the trophies and be happy. And then I want to play Astrobot VR. I never finished that. I need to get back and finish that. I hear it's a good platinum too, so I'd like to get through that. So a lot of stuff to play over the holidays. But that, maybe, I want to play... Kevin, I still want to play The Division, but I don't know if we're ever actually going to get to it, you and me. I mean, I'm ready for Division 2, period. Full stop. But I want to go get those skulls and stuff, you know?
I mean, I'm just call me, dude. I'm ready.
Okay. Uh-oh, Nitro Rifle coming on in here. Andy Cortez, what do you got for me?
Mic on?
Is the mic on?
Yeah. I played the Anthem Closed Alpha.
You can't talk about it, though,
can't
right?
Can't talk about
NDA.
It.
But you just wanted to tell us you
just
played it?
Just wanted to let
you
all know.
Oh, thanks. You're a real piece of garbage. Yeah, yeah, people can say that, I think. And if not, everybody ban Andy Cortez from BioWare Games.
Andy, how was it?
It's
Andy.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Brittany needs help on PlayStation 4's. Her PSN's is Britta Fox, BRITAFOX. Hey, Kind of Funny Games Daily crew. I have started the long grind towards the Rayman Legends Platinum, and I need the best friend's help to complete it. One of the trophies requires you to beat a friend's score 30 times in the daily / weekly challenges, and I sadly don't have any friends with the game. If anyone could help me out and post scores for a few challenges, that would be great. My PSN name is Britta Fox. If you want to help out, Brittany, hit her up. She needs help in Rayman Legends. Tim, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can watch the Kind of Funny Games showcase and listening on podcast services around the globe. What do we get wrong today?
Charles Jacobson says, heads up about Monster Hunter World. The Final Fantasy 14 Cross Monster Hunter event also introduced mechanics from 14.
That's Thank interesting. You.
Then that's actually like that goes into what I was saying earlier about them like crossing over and stuff, but even earlier than I expected.
Well, Monster Hunter has always been that kind of franchise, right? Like I loved in Peace Walker the Monster Hunter levels. Yeah, that was always cool.
Then going through this, we got Lord of Potence saying Black Armory was the latest Destiny 2 DLC.
We already said that.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm all over
you blacked
this,
out
man.
Part of this
I'm
episode.
Done, dude. It's all good. Spiderface is more of a did you know than a you're wrong. There's an unofficial Up at Noon host costume for Guacamelee 1. So Greg's in both games.
Is it unofficial? Oh, maybe it's unofficially. It's not called Kind of Funny. But I do remember that they put me or whatever, the Up at Noon costume into the Steam version of Guacamelee. But this one is for everyone. So everyone enjoy shirtless arachnid person and Portillo the Wiener Dog. I'm drawing a good Superman symbol today.
Minashi Rojas says, as you're talking about playing Smash, unlocking characters, I can confirm that Tim's method still works. My game's up to date. But then Alex Domingo writes in and says, this is to help Kevin out. In Smash, unlocking characters is based on how much your character has moved on a stage. My method was taking character on any Omega stage with no items and a second player standing still and running back and forth for about 20 minutes. Others have reportedly talked about taking a fast character and this thing gets cut off so I can't see, but I've seen other people going to a level with a wall like Hyrule Temple, going into the little crevice and then just holding the sticks of the characters like running against the wall so it's still moving.
Interesting.
God, the lengths you'll go to unlock
to get them yeah. quick, but the idea is it's a combination of using those methods, because the reason it worked for me is that we played for like an hour of multiplayer Smash with four players, so there was a lot of movement going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I came home, that was what tricked it. Like, then you go. But so yeah, the 10-minute thing still works, but you just need to get the movement in.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the way, I mean, we should eventually, for people here, start doing it, right? Is like, yeah, okay, so you just pop everybody's switches on and we all play as we're going to play no matter what and get them that way.
Totally.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we did, you're wrong. On a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. This week, let me run down the host for you. Tomorrow, Tim's back with me. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's me and Jared Petty. Friday, it's me and Andrea Renee. All
today,
that is subject to change.
Kindoffunny.com/store. 20% off everything, including our new hype hat.
I didn't know that.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. The hat that I'm wearing right now, Tim?
Whoa. Show Kev Cam. That's the hat. It's backwards. But there's a bill in the front. Yeah, it's got stuff.
I like
stuff.
How you pointed the pin.
That isn't included.
I put it in a hat.
Sure you did. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.